Hey there, I'm Matthew Foley and this is ISO Insights, where God's truth grows in the midst of current culture, renewing the mind and spirit.
Welcome back to ISO Insights. I'm your host, Matthew Foley, and today we've got a returning guest, somebody that ISO knows well, and I almost said doctor, but doctor in spirit, Pastor Chris Goins, editor also. He's the editor for ISO, as you'll know if you've watched earlier episodes, which if you haven't, go ahead, go back, watch those. You'll enjoy them. But thank you so much for coming on again, Pastor Chris.
It's an honor to be with you, Matthew. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
Through podcasting, through the YouTube channel, we really appreciate you growing the influence of ISO, what God is doing here.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be able to do it, and I'm praying that it blesses you guys, and that you guys would, if you haven't heard of ISO, International School of the Word Bible College, that you'd go and check that out at iso.org. But today we had something, and I threw this on Pastor Chris at really short notice, and he always comes prepared, and I figured I wanted to give him something he would be able to hop on quickly, because it was short notice. But I asked him a question about culture, movies, entertainment. If you don't know, Pastor Chris is a very prolific writer, and he writes blogs. He is very good at what he does, and he also writes opinion pieces. I've seen you do kind of mini movie reviews. But one of the things, because you know he's a minister, that he talks about is a lot of the philosophies and moral dispositions of the movies and the films that are coming out today. I know there is, you know, both of us are associated with the Church of God, which is a Pentecostal denomination.
Yes.
Rooted in the holiness groups that were from the Appalachians or Appalachians, so nobody will stone me in the comment section. But the reason I bring that up is because when I grew up in the Pentecostal church, the church I went to as a kid for the most part of my childhood used movies and popular culture. It was a larger church. It did have kind of some seeker-sensitive stuff thrown in there, but it was still a Pentecostal church. I grew up hearing about hell being preached a lot when I was very young. But I think it's very interesting that a lot of Pentecostal churches are really attempting to engage popular culture at this point, when the background classically that we come from in the holiness movement originally had a stance of complete separation from the world, stopping short of what the Amish would do, where it's like we're rejecting technology and everything. But I wanted to get you to just jump in the subject, and I think we can start off this talking about what is the church's philosophy about popular culture, and entertainment follows after that. So how should we respond as Christians who want to be in the presence of God to popular culture, movies, things that really everybody who's in the world, a child goes to public school, all his friends are talking about, latest movies, latest songs that have come out. How do we engage that?
Yeah. Matthew, it's a great question. Romans 12. Mm-hmm. If you look at Romans 12:2, Paul said this: do not conform to the pattern of this world's thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love the way the Message translation reads there. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Mm-hmm. And right now, we're going to have to admit that culture is pervasive. It's coming at us, whether we're aware of it or not. We are in this world, but Scripture admonishes us, don't be of it.
Yeah.
You're in it, but you can't afford to be of it. You can't afford to allow the culture to mold you. In fact, there's an old translation, J.B. Phillips, when he was translating Romans 12, verse 2, he said this: don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Mm. So I think we need to have that awareness that there is a propensity in all of us to be squeezed into the world's mold. So, Matt, let me describe it like this. We were talking before we began, and I think there are three viewpoints. This is sort of a classical model. It's not original with me as to how Christians can relate to culture. Number one, we can receive what is good. If it reflects the image of God, a Christian worldview, mm-hmm. God's general revelation in this world, Christians can receive what is good. There's some things that you might hear on the radio, a song that might enlighten or inspire or lift you. Christians can receive what is good.
Yeah.
Secondly, we need to reject what is evil. And I know we probably have these ideas that something that is evil will be heinous and immediately recognizable as evil. In this day and age, 2024, when we're recording this, evil is often incredibly subtle. But that doesn't mean it's not dangerous. In fact, right now, we're seeing evil wreak havoc mm-hmm. in youth culture. And yeah. it's often presented very subtly. So we receive what is good, reject what is evil, and then we redeem what has been lost or stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just go here very quickly. I don't want to put us sideways.
Yeah.
In regards to ideas regarding sex and sexuality, mm-hmm. our culture has totally corrupted God's original intention for sex and sexuality. Now, if you're a complete sectarian, you basically say, I'm walking away from it all.
Yeah.
I reject it all. Biblically minded believers understand that everything that God created is good.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not reject sex and sexuality. Let's just rediscover what God intended for it. Let's redeem that. We can't redeem it ourselves, but we can present our brokenness to God and allow Him to redeem it. And that's sort of the way I walk through these minds of culture. Receive what is good, reject what is evil, and redeem what has been lost or stolen.
Wow. Receive what's good, reject what's evil, and redeem what's been lost or stolen.
Yeah.
If I can jump into that, you know what's funny is in my household growing up, we at some point, there was kind of a transformation that took place where when I was very young, there was a lot more leniency. Mm. Like when I was very young, I'm not trying, my parents did great at many things. They love the Lord. They really imparted that faith to me, so I'm not trashing them. But I remember being very young and watching like NCIS, you know, like
okay. yes.
7 to 8 years old. I'm like, you know what? I probably shouldn't have been watching NCIS because of the intensity of what was covered yes. in it, crimes, people being murdered, yada, yada. But the main thing is we went from that to like going back to 1940s, 1960s films. And a major reason for it was language.
Mm.
But what's so funny is some of the films back then, going back, like I watched something with my wife just the other day, and it was a film we watched multiple times growing up, and she was like, this is really weird stuff.
Mm.
I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, well, they're not using any, like, I think you guys like didn't feel bad about watching it because there was no outright language yes. or nudity, but some of the subjects they cover are really bizarre, and it feels strange. And when I just thought about it for 2 seconds, I was like, wow, this is a really bizarre movie. So I'll throw this out there. There's a movie called Harvey that, I hope nobody's going to get lost because I'm going like for most people that may have never heard of this, but oh my God, Jimmy Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was the actor, the main actor in it. You may have never heard of this movie.
I haven't.
Black and white, old movie. The whole premise of the movie is that Jimmy Stewart is kind of this, it opens up with him being kind of this guy who's wandering through life, and his older sister's this well-known matriarch of the community, and she is taking care of him, and you could tell there's like a strange thing going on with this person. It's a famous Broadway play at the time that they made a new movie. So the whole thing is he believes he has an invisible friend who is a giant rabbit that talks to him.
I have heard of this movie, yes.
And later in the movie, so the whole thing is his relationship with this thing gives him a gentleness and a kindness in life, but his sister wants him to start taking a drug to make him not see this friend anymore. But he's a super nice guy. Everybody loves him that meets him.
Mm.
And later in the movie, there's the name is called Harvey because this giant rabbit is Harvey. That's what Jimmy Stewart's character calls him. And later in the movie, they talk about this guy's reading in a book where it talks about a capuchin, which is a Celtic spirit that befriends and follows someone around. Well, that's what Harvey was. That was actually the claim of the movie at its core. So on one end, it's kind of innocent, kind of funny. But if you looked at it and you kind of looked at the philosophy of it, so this is a spirit that is not God, that is in this man's life soothing him, but he's not really helping his community. He's not getting a job, but he talks to people and makes them feel good. Now, I don't know in real life if you're ever going to find an example that matches that. But even though it's got a lot of innocence in it, there's a philosophy behind it that says, you know, whatever it takes to for someone to find peace in their life. But one of the claims of the movie is very similar to spirit guides in the New Age. There are, if you don't take the movie that seriously, it doesn't hold any power. But unfortunately, there are some people in spiritualism that take those kind of claims seriously. Like maybe if I had this spirit guide that would help me through life, that, you know, that could be some kind of help to me. I get in all that. Don't mean to get the tall grass. But that's an example of a very old movie that there was still a philosophy inside of it that if someone was highly influenceable, we can take it for granted if you have the word of God inside of you that someone won't be highly influenceable. So that's one end of the extreme. Really, movies that aren't very filthy outrightly, but they have interesting philosophies. And there are, I would say, shockingly, some movies made by people who culturally come from areas of the world where people talk real rough and vulgar, but they may have philosophies that are more grounded in truth. Does that bear witness with you at all?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. That's why I really think one of the skills that Christians, it's incumbent upon us that we develop, and that's the skill of discernment. We know this to be a gift of the Spirit. I mean, Paul talked about discerning of spirits. And I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said about discernment, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. So key. And Philippians chapter 1 says this, "This is my prayer." Paul's praying for a church that he deeply loves. And listen to this prayer, "that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, so that you can be what? Pure and blameless." And that's one of the necessities for believers today, because I'll go down a potential rabbit trail here. And pardon me if this opens up Pandora's box that's rather dangerous. For years and years and years and years, decades in fact, my mother was a huge fan of Disney. In fact, when I was growing up, on Sunday night, something came on television called The Wonderful World of Disney. Now, when I was growing up, we didn't get to stay home to watch The Wonderful World of Disney because we had church on Sunday night. And I remember on one occasion, Wonderful World of Disney was airing 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I asked my dad if I could stay home and watch 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. He said, "You get in the car to go to church, or you're going to have 10,000 stripes you know where." I mean, he was very adamant that we be believers. But in that era, my mother loved all things Disney. All things Disney. One of the last trips she wanted my father and her to take the entire family on was a trip to Disney. Unfortunately, my father became sick and couldn't make the trip, so they sent the entire family there. I say all that because recently, in recent years, Disney has become one of, I believe, the most dangerous filmmakers in the world. Not because of outright objective errors where you could say someone is cursing prolifically, using God's name in vain, using four-letter words, graphic nudity on the screen. Not because of these things, but because of an underlying worldview that was bit by bit tearing away at the foundations of Christian faith, the foundation of thoughts regarding sex, sexuality, gender issues, mm-hmm. on and on and on. It's been a very subtle, and you know, for years, Christians were thought to be rather conspiracy theory laden if they pointed that out, until last year. Internal memos mm-hmm. from got Disney were released.
True.
They got leaked online, mm-hmm. where major contributors were admitting this was their
agenda.
This, yes.
It was intentional. They wanted to put LGBTQ media into Disney.
Throughout it.
To influence children.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now because of, isn't it interesting how money speaks?
Mm-hmm.
Now because Disney hasn't had a hit in about a year. In fact, they've went sort of belly up in terms of their movies not really producing. So Bob Iger, who's back, is basically saying, we're going to have to rethink how much we pursue a cultural agenda. So I think not always should we look at things that are outright obvious. Yeah, we should have a mind towards those. But we should realize that the evil one has an agenda. Mm-hmm. And whether people are cognizantly aware that they're in alliance with the mm-hmm. evil one's agenda, the evil one is perpetrating an agenda, and he's doing it very slowly, very methodically. And that's why we need discernment like never before. In fact, I would say this. A parent mm-hmm. in 2024 is being incredibly unwise if they give their children a smartphone and access to social media before the age of 16.
Yeah.
Even after the age of 16, there needs to be some parameters.
Yeah.
But before the age of 16, I would say that a Christian parent is being derelict mm-hmm. in their duty. Mm-hmm. They're being incredibly unwise because of all that's available online to that child. And Not necessarily that the child is seeking these things out.
Yeah. They will find the child in some cases.
That's it.
They will find them. They're aimed at them.
And without a parent present to help the child filter that, the child can be led into that incredibly quickly.
Wow. Thank you so much for watching ISO Insights, ISO Bible College's podcast, and I wanted to let you know about something that we offer, making it easy for you to see the rest of the courses that we have sampled in our videos here on our YouTube channel. You can use our All Access Pass, which you can find more about both in the description below and at isow.org, our website. By using the All Access Pass subscription, $99 a month will get you full access to all of our course catalogs. So please do go over and check out our All Access Pass at iso.org. This is a very serious subject to me because there's two ends of things in culture that I see. First of all, I feel like the enemy is coming after children more overtly now than ever before.
Yes.
And it is stunning. That being said, there are still a lot of people that did not grow up in an extremely holiness-oriented family, had parents or grandparents that came from Christianity, traditional denominations. A lot of these people are in the Midwest or in the Southeast, but they, no matter what happens, they may not be regular church attenders, but they are hyper-protective of their children, because it's natural to be that way.
Yes.
And they're rising up in the culture to resist Disney and these kinds of people. They've become this majority that's rising up saying, okay, well, I could deal with a lot when it comes to what kind of stuff you put out for adults, but you're not going to come after my kids. That being said, you mentioned something before we started recording that I'd love to touch on as well in connection with this. There's an old saying, the devil overplayed his hand. That's something that I think you touched on. You said there are a lot of people, you mentioned singles, mm-hmm. who have given up on any type of active sex life, if you will, as you would find it put on a psychology journal online, that singles have become isolated to themselves, which in the 90s, that was not the case. In the early 2000s, that was not the case. And people were embracing this kind of, what was the effects of free love from the 60s. That was just birth control, all that jazz. it made it so that people didn't feel like they had to be in that committed marriage, safe environment to have that kind of relationship with someone. But my question is, why are young people now isolating themselves? Why are they now so overwhelmed or hopeless that they could find someone? Do you think it's related to a long-term relationship? You kind of hinted that it was related to the dissatisfaction and the emptiness of sin when it's been pursued. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, I think there are several reasons. I'll try to hit as many as I can. Why? The number one culprit is this.
Wow.
Smartphone. Many, many young people are finding life, particularly young men, behind a screen.
Yeah, wow.
Because actual relationships are so difficult.
Yeah.
They're so challenging. I recently listened to a lecture by Scott Galloway. He's a professor of marketing at NYU. And he's a really smart guy, though not a Christian. I believe he's evolutionary in his thinking.
Yeah.
But Scott was talking about the biggest danger posed to people today. And he talked about AI. And he said, when it comes to AI, the biggest danger AI represents is not sentience. It's not working, taking jobs from working class people. He said the biggest danger is loneliness. And he mentioned the fact that more and more, for instance, I won't mention the site right now. Because I don't want to attract unintentionally anyone to that site. But there's a site where men can get an AI girlfriend. And Scott talked about the fact that the technology, he had recorded the clip that he showed 4 months ago, and he said in just 4 months, this has so dramatically improved.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, my son-in-law sent me a clip where a guy is talking to his, quote, AI girlfriend. She knows how to laugh at his silly jokes.
Wow.
She detects humor.
Yeah.
She detects facial expressions and knows how to respond to these things. And Scott's point was, more and more, young men particularly, but young people in general, are turning to the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's an AI interaction, whether it's social media, whether it's any number of facsimiles, we're turning to the screen. So I think the screen is a big danger. We're scared of intimacy. We're scared of actual relationships. Relationships, even friendships, require work. So we're turning to the screen. So I think that's a big, big issue as to why there's some dangers out there. I think, secondly, the fact that we're becoming more and more disconnected as a people. And by disconnected as a people, we isolate in silos. Republican, Democrat, right, left, people with varying views on sexuality. We've started thinking of ourselves in terms of these labels
that
speak to issues, instead of the fact that, Matt, you're a guy made in the image of God. I'm a guy made in the image of God. Both of us are flawed.
Yeah.
Both of us have our quirks, our idiosyncrasies, our oddities that could frustrate one another. But if we gave one another a chance, that they might bring us together. And I know there are probably 30 plus years that separate me and you. I'm not sure. Not done the math. Don't want to give my age online right now.
In a hypothetical world, there are 30 years maybe.
Yeah. But there's still something that could bring us together, namely our mutual devotion to Christ.
Yeah.
So that's a big issue, is we silo ourselves in terms of ideology, ageism, a number of things, instead of accepting the humanity that most of us bring to the table, that all of us need. I think third, a reason we're rejecting young people are turning away from sex, I think we found out that, you know, what was presented is a lie.
Yeah.
It does not satisfy.
Yeah.
It does not meet my deepest longings. That's my fear for today. Right now, we're in this craze of trans ideology, where there's a push to allow children to have what are called gender-affirming surgeries at an incredibly young age. And the problem is, give it 5, give it 10, give it 15, give it 20 years. Already in Great Britain, Great Britain is waking up, and Great Britain is saying, holy cow, we didn't anticipate the long-term harm of some of these decisions that we've made. So they're backtracking on policies that they enacted regarding gender ideology. Who's lagging behind?
America.
The U.S., because we are so headstrong in our sinful defiance and rebellion against a holy God. We're going to do it our way. We've adopted the Burger King theology. Yeah. We will have it our way. Unfortunately, 5, 10, 15 years later, we're going to be facing a generation of young people we failed to serve by saying, hey, just like you found out in regards to cheap hookups with the opposite sex, this idea that was presented that you can be whole if you bring your body into alignment with your mind, which is an absolutely insane thought, it was bankrupt too. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, at that point when a person has foregone any kind of sexual enjoyment or the possibility of children or reproduction or family or anything else, all of those things have been thrown away because we followed a sinful ideology. So I think there are lots of reasons. I'm not certain I'm getting to your original question.
I think you are.
But yeah. So when it comes to culture, I look back at the way I was raised, Matthew. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to a movie until I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
Now, this incredible thing happened when I was in my late teens, and that is the advent of a VCR. And all of a sudden, we could go to a shop and rent a movie and bring that movie home. Which begs to ask or answer the question, why did that movie suddenly become right in the home and it was wrong in the theater?
That's because the theater's a bad place.
That's it. Now, here was the one redeeming aspect of that. At first, when my mom and dad started bringing those movies home, how did I watch those movies? I watched them with a parent present. Mm-hmm. So if something occurred on the screen, what could the parent do? The parent could engage with me.
Yeah.
The parent could say, hey, whoa, Chris, that's not what we believe.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we believe that?
Yeah.
Then a conversation.
I love that.
I remember great conversations with my dad and mom. There were some subjects that they were really uncomfortable with, so they wouldn't engage with me on, i.e. sex. My dad, whenever I brought up the topic of sex, right before I got married, you know the sex talk I had with my dad? He walked into my bedroom with a copy of Tim LaHaye's book, The Act of Marriage, I think it was called. I'm doing this by memory, and it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And said, read this. It'll answer all your questions.
Oh, man. There's so much awkwardness about it. Yeah.
So while we were uncomfortable talking about some things, they were willing to have that dialogue. But I believe that there was behind this push against culture that sometimes went over the top.
Yeah.
There was a heart for holiness.
And I think there was a discernment for something prophetically. There were, I believe, Pentecostal people early on, when they would see certain movies and they'd be like, something's off, something weird. There's some kind of intention behind this that's not godly.
Yeah.
Even if the movie wasn't profoundly evil in an overt way. I think there is a level of discernment, but I think sometimes our shrewdness doesn't meet really what it needs to meet. I know that sounds confusing. I don't try to confuse people, but Jesus, for instance, one of the most confusing parables is in Luke 16. He talks about the unrighteous steward. Mm. And at the end of it, there's a congratulations for how the unrighteous steward handles himself. And then Jesus says a very kind of bizarre thing. He says, you need to learn how to make friends in the kingdom with unrighteous mammon, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, and then when he says that, he seems to be saying, you live in an imperfect world. You live in a world with warfare and where evil is occurring, and that you may find yourself in a position where you're being treated unjustly.
Yeah.
Things are being assumed about you. And then he says, after he makes that statement about unrighteous mammon, sometimes the children of darkness are shrewder,
are more shrewd
in their dealings,
yes,
than the children of light.
And
he's saying, you need to be more shrewd.
Yes.
I think that's hand in hand with be as harmless as doves, but be as wise as a serpent.
Yes.
That he's literally saying you need to have the same level of shrewdness that your enemy has to go to war against him.
Yeah.
I heard I don't want to give details as to who it is, but he's Pentecostal, and I'll just put it this way. He's a teacher. Mm. And I don't demonize him for this statement, but he went to, in front of a class, he was saying, you know, sometimes you have to pray over yourself. And he was trying to say, you guys need to not be disengaged from what's going on in culture with movies.
Yeah.
Because he said that's important. But he was talking about going to the new Halloween movie that came out. Mm. It was a horror movie.
Mm.
And I've never enjoyed horror movies, period. Mm-hmm. It's when I was a kid, it was very tormenting to me to watch something like that. And I don't enjoy it as an adult. But he said, you've got to plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, and then you've got to go walk in and watch a movie. Well, I don't agree with that.
No.
I think that's a very bizarre way of handling it. But I do think that, I'll put it this way. The Apostle Paul, I think, was extremely shrewd. And God chose him outstanding in his peers, outstanding in his generation, to be the apostle to the Gentiles.
Mm.
Out of all of these Jewish fishermen and tough people, God selected a man who was born in a Roman province in a Jewish community, became a radical Pharisee, moved to Jerusalem to rise up in the ranks of the Pharisees, converted that guy, and the same man he sent back to the Gentiles. To me, that's a kind of shocking strategy for the Lord, because all the Jewish people of the first century church really struggled with feeling freedom to go and talk to Gentiles.
Mm.
Why am I saying that? Because Paul, who is the most radical out of all of them, as far as being a Jew and a Pharisee, he engaged Gentile culture more than any of them.
Yes.
And when he went to Athens in Acts, he was searching to find some philosophical point that he could get a door for the gospel. What I do think that professor or that teacher may have been trying to say is, if you don't have any idea of what's going on in the culture of unbelievers, it's going to become more and more difficult for them to be comfortable in talking to
you. For you to connect.
And connecting with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's accurate.
Yeah. That brings us back to this issue of discernment. Be discerning.
Yeah.
Be wise and discerning. So while you need to be aware of culture, we're in the world, mm-hmm. we're not of it. I hate to keep going back to that. I think it's the second time I've said it. We don't need to adapt to the world. When you talk about shrewdness,
mm-hmm.
here's what I would say in regards to some of the cultural issues that we're facing. There's a professor by the name of Jonathan Haidt, best-selling New York Times best-selling author, written several books recently. Jonathan is a Jewish man. He's also an atheist. So our worldviews are mm-hmm. incredibly dissimilar.
Yeah.
Jonathan believes this, that one of the greatest dangers that our world faces is this.
Wow.
The smartphone. And because of that, he's challenging parents. He's challenging parents and saying, hey, until your child is 16, one of the worst things that you can do for their mental health, see, he's not even approaching it spiritually.
Yeah.
Mental health is to give them a smartphone.
Yeah.
What? Because of what happens when they get this phone and why this was built. Isn't it interesting that those who created this technology wouldn't even give their own children access to a smartphone or an iPad?
Wow.
By the way, the differences between smartphone, iPad, and a television, radically different. I just went on vacation with my family. I've got 3 grandchildren. One day the parents talked to me about what happens when they give their children their iPad. children have an iPad. The parents basically dissect whatever the kids can watch on that iPad. It's downloaded. They're given the iPad. But the parents told us, my daughter and son-in-law said, their moods after 30 minutes with an iPad are incredibly, radically different than their moods if we bring them in and say, hey, kids, you get to have 30 minutes with the television. They said just the mood in their heart is discernibly different. So what they're beginning to do is limit more and more their access to these. So I think we've got to be discerning. To go back to your metaphor from Jesus, we've got to be shrewd. Yes, we should be aware of culture. We should know about culture as much as possible, receive what is good. I mean, my wife and I, we enjoy a good movie. We enjoy a good movie. Unfortunately, we're grieved by bad ones.
Yeah.
Like on vacation, I'm not going to mention the movie, but me and my wife and two of our daughters and a husband, we watched a movie. And it had great reviews. It was horrible.
Yeah.
When I tell you horrible, I mean horrible.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'd rented the movie from iTunes because we were on family vacation, and I wrote back to them, hey, I want you to take this off of my account. I don't want to see it in my history. This was absolutely awful. My daughter saw me writing. She said, well, I said, I'm telling them how awful it was, and I want them to refund my money. She said, they're never going to refund. Well, they did refund my money.
Wow.
So hallelujah.
Good but, customer service at least.
Yeah, what I am saying is you can do all that you can attempt to do and still make a bad choice.
Yeah.
So receive what is good, reject what is evil, and redeem what is lost and stolen. And I think there are those possibilities. I would say, though, for discerning believers, inundate yourself with Scripture.
Ah, 100%.
Inundate yourself with great
Come
theology.
On.
I mean, dig deep. Romans 12, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world's thinking, but Come be on. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, here's my thought. And I recently heard someone say this, that someone would not watch 30 minutes on television. I can't remember who the icon was. It's a popular Christian teacher. But he will not watch 30 minutes on television unless he's read the Bible for 30 minutes.
Wow.
He has this equal quotient going. He's not going to give the world more time than he gives God's word.
Wow.
I thought, well, that's incredibly impressive. Mm-hmm. And I thought regarding myself, Do I keep that same kind of, not that I want to adopt his philosophy because I don't feel that as a personal conviction, but what I will tell you is there's not a day that I do not spend a considerable amount of time in God's word because I want to be more formed by the Father than I do this world. And it's really easy in this day and age to be formed by the world.
Wow.
Everything in our world, we need to realize this. I don't believe that Hollywood, by and large, is sitting around saying, okay, what's next in our plan? What's next in our step? Though we do know from those released videos from Disney.
Yeah, there are plans.
There are plans.
There are agendas.
And we do know this. Behind all of that is an evil one who, whether or not he lets us in on his plans and the way he's planting seeds, thought, go back to a movie, Inception, in our mind.
Yeah.
I mean, whether or not we're aware of it, I do think those things are occurring. So believers, we need to be so filled with the word of God that the moment something shows up, we're like, oh, no.
Come on.
Oh, no. My wife and I were watching something, and I wish I could remember what it was. But we were watching a drama, and there was a moment in the drama when the husband began, when I say began, I mean started communicating with a member of the opposite sex in a way that both of us looked at one another. And it wasn't anything inappropriate. Like he wasn't making a pass at her.
Yeah.
He wasn't coming on to the woman. It was just a way that went beyond the way a married man relates to another woman.
Unhealthy vulnerability.
And both my wife and I said, oh, no. And I mean, we were talking back to the television, calling out the character's name.
Yeah.
Whatever you do,
yeah.
cut this off right now.
Yeah.
Don't go down that road.
Yeah.
And we both knew it. We knew where that was ultimately leading, where mm-hmm. it did lead. It didn't show anything graphic or inappropriate other than the havoc created by this man's awful choice. Mm-hmm. But we need that kind of discernment so that
yeah.
when something inappropriate, even not presented in a rude or what have you way, we have that discernment to say, watch it. Watch
yeah.
it. I mean, it's David when he's confronted by some people believe it was Ahithophel who said, isn't this woman someone's wife?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't she someone's daughter? When he's contemplating Bathsheba, somebody got in David's face and said,
yeah.
wait just a minute. We need the Holy Spirit getting
yeah.
in our face, and he'll do that if we inundate ourselves with the Word of God so that when we see something, observe something, run across an ad, what have you, when we're scrolling social media, we say, oh no, my spiritual radar is up.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about this, but I do know that for me, God says no. And,
yeah.
and let me just say this. We were talking about this before. Sometimes that check that the Holy Spirit brings will not be because something is blatantly evil,
mm-hmm.
but because of our personal life and experience, we're incredibly vulnerable in these areas.
Yeah.
Like for me, I love music. My music of preference is classical rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I'm talking about stylistically.
Yeah.
So I grew up on contemporary Christian music. Rez Band, Petra, I could go through naming all of these groups that had a classical rock and roll sound.
Mm-hmm.
So I still love that musical style today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're friends of mine. They can't listen to anything that sounds like that because just the sound
yeah.
takes them back to a memory in their past that is unproductive for them.
Absolutely.
And that's why we need that discernment that you and I were speaking of before we began rolling tape
yeah.
regarding Paul's admonition related to food.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically tells us to really be thoughtful of our brothers and sisters in these regards so that we don't create stumbling blocks for
yeah.
them in regards to personal taste and preferences.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get in my truck today to head home, I may be cranking, you
yeah.
know, something up. But when I'm around a believer who has a history and a past that I've become aware of, maybe because we've been in small group, and I know this leads them somewhere.
Yeah.
Hearing Kansas sing "Carry On My Wayward Son"
mm-hmm.
doesn't evoke pleasant memories for them.
Yeah.
It evokes a period of time when they were lost
yeah.
in sin, upside down to God, and that
violation
really is
of
not
conscience.
A good,
yeah.
yeah. So we need to be
yeah.
aware of all of these things. That, for instance, one of the things, even regarding a quote great movie, if I become aware, and you know we can do this by
mm-hmm.
looking at Plugged In, by looking
mm-hmm.
at the parental guide on IMDb, we can become aware of a lot of what's in a movie.
Yeah.
When I become aware that something has nudity
mm-hmm.
or sex,
mm-hmm.
I don't care how much it's been lauded.
Yeah.
Whether it's a series or a movie, I'm not doing that. Why?
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to give the devil a foothold in my life
yeah.
regarding temptation
mm.
or lust. It doesn't matter to me how many awards that movie won.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how lauded it is. There are some doors I do not want to open.
Yeah.
And opening that and allowing the evil one to come in there. You know, I have a goal in my life, and I'm a married guy. In June, it'll be 41 years.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. My goal, and unfortunately, because of poor choices I made many, many years ago, you know, a pornography I was exposed to when I was a kid
mm-hmm.
and what have you, I'm not going to be able to meet this goal, but I can this side of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I want the only person that I ever behold in that kind of way to be my spouse.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I want her to be my standard of beauty.
Yeah.
I don't need the world to set my standard of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
I need that
yeah.
woman that God brought to me to be my one and only standard of beauty. So, you know, we can research movies, we can look at IMDb, there's a little parental guide there if you ease down into the notes. Plugged In does usually a good job of that, of letting you know what you're going to be up against if you face something. So I try to become aware of these so I don't unnecessarily expose myself to something in culture.
That's great.
Lends to our convo.
I see two sides of this in conclusion to what we've been talking about. And we could call it one side is the passive and one side is the active, or negative versus positive. So the negative side is what ought I to avoid? And the positive side is what should I aim to attain? What should I actively pursue? And I think God, first of all, I really do believe the New Testament says that God created the world for people to enjoy it.
Yes.
That there is joy, there is peace. But the Bible also says in the New Testament that there are lusts and desires. And I want to say this, when Paul talks about lusts and desires and putting those to death, he's not talking about putting to death the good things that ought to be enjoyed in creation. And that is the extreme legalism often takes people. Why young people will reject churches and go and do whatever.
Yes.
But I think that the thing about lust that we don't think about is lust is about the draw of something without ever truly reaching a place of satisfaction or contentment. That's the torment of lust, is that it is desire without true fulfillment. Because, you know, biblically speaking, when a man desires his wife, that isn't sinful lust. That's good. God said it's good, and that's what God intended. But the difference between something like pornography and sexuality in God's context of marriage is pornography will never end with satisfaction. It will never end with peace.
Or connection. Intimacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any true thing that sexuality was meant to bring people towards, and it can cause difficulty in actually having that peace and that intimacy and that connection in a real relationship. But when you have trained your mind the best you can to only have that connection with your spouse, that I'm not pretty sure psychologists know that is the greatest level of satisfaction someone can attain with sexuality.
Yeah.
Out of all the possible actions, sexual actions and paths you can pursue, what God said in His Word has the greatest level of contentment, peace, joy. And I think people are starting to realize that. I think, like, for instance, Russell Brand. I don't know. He's just started his pursuit of Christianity overtly. So I'm not going to call it here. But I think that's a great example because he is someone who lived as a agnostic or atheist hedonist for many, many years.
Absolutely.
And he's vocal about how empty that pursuit is. And now he's turning and trying to find that contentment. And he's claiming he has found contentment in Christ, and he's married and has children. He's turned back. I think there's a cultural turning back by a lot of people, not that have swung into the deep end, but have pursued carnal pleasures. There is a turning of a lot of those people to find contentment in Christ because they see how insane these fringes of the culture are turning that support transgenderism and all these wild things. So I think what I want to say to those listening is we're pursuing what God intended in creation, joy, peace, Eden. It's a good thing for a husband and a wife to be able to sit down and enjoy an activity it's a good thing for entertainment, to enjoy entertainment, because it creates connectedness. It is not a good thing if you watch it and it puts a wedge in your heart between each other or between God and yourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that that is where discernment's at, because the scripture says that the word of God, David said, Lord, let me hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God is living and it's powerful, and that when it's inside of you, it is working to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Yes.
And that's why I loved what you said. The greatest bit, I think, out of this whole podcast is when you said, more importantly than what you delete is what you add.
Yeah.
Which is, you can delete as many movies or this influence, that influence, but unless you have the Word of God in you, pouring it into you, listening to it, reading it, there is nothing in you that will protect you from those lies and those philosophies that the world's trying, the enemy's trying to put it in us.
Yeah.
But the Word of God will guard our hearts and put truth in us so that we, when we hear lies, we can discern between lie and truth.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed this episode so much.
Well, it's been an honor. It's been an honor. Thank you, Matthew, for what you do. And thank you for the opportunity of this conversation.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I think Pastor Chris has left us with a lot of riches in the Spirit to draw from. And I pray that this blesses you today, those of you that have been listening. And we're going to catch you again on ISO Insights. Thank you very much.
God.